Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Former Grant's Rants guest co-host Marie Garofalo dishes about her time with Richard Simmons. And Talia DeLuca joins to discuss Nicki Minaj's weak response to Remy Ma. Arnold's exit from Celebrity Apprentice, Lindsay Lohan's latest project, and is Megyn Kelly the new Oprah? Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from no one today. It's just me, myself, and I. It's a quiet weekend here in LA, but I will still have guest co-hosts. I'm going to switch up the format a little bit today, and we're going to have roll some calls with me. You know, kind of hang out with me. We're going to chat with Marie Garofalo, a former co-host of the show. She's been on episode 420 and episode 30. And episode 30 is where she talks about her experience with Richard Simmons. And I just can't get over the success of this podcast, the number one podcast right now in the United States, Missing Richard Simmons. It's everywhere. The creator and host, Dan, was a bartender on Watch What Happens Live recently. And I just can't get over the success of the show. So I'd like to say that we talked about it first. Well, Marie was interviewed by a magazine, People Magazine, and she talked about her experience. You know, Marie had a really good, I would say, a surprising relationship with Richard. I was as interested to find out how close Richard was with his clients as much as everyone is now with listening to this podcast. So we're going to have a one-on-one with Marie, and then we're going to talk with an old friend of mine, which is going to be a blast. So let's call up Marie.
Hi, Grant.
Hey, Marie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's your Sunday?
Oh, going well so far. Adjusting to the time change.
Yes. I know. I was like, oh, what time is it? let's talk about this podcast. Like, I sent you this link, right? I sent you the link, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
And have you been listening to every episode?
I have been listening to every episode. And I just think it is so fantastic.
It's so well done. It's so well done.
And like, I know now the episodes get released early Wednesday mornings. And so like this past Wednesday, I couldn't even wait until after work to listen to it. So I listened to it on my way in. Like, I think it's so good. I know a lot of the people that the guy who created it, that he's interviewing. And so it's just, you know, it's fun to hear them, but it's also like nostalgic and brings back a lot of memories of being in the class. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Did you ever think that it would catch on to be such a success? Like, I always was interested in it, but I didn't realize it was going to resonate with so many people. Like, I just saw it. I was like, oh, this is interesting because I know Marie. I know some of these people, the backstory. Like, I'm aware of the situation, but I had no idea that it would resonate with so many people.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I had posted a collage of pictures on Facebook because I went regularly to the class for about 3 years. And people were commenting who maybe are like, you know, I haven't known for as long, or were like newer friends. And so they weren't as familiar that I had been going to his class. And they were like, oh my gosh, I have the Sweat Into the Oldies VHS tapes. And yeah, like, it's just, I think it's brought back like a lot of memories for a lot of people, even if they just used to watch him like when he was on David Letterman, or, you know, just being silly, you know, on TV or whatever. So it's just been really, really interesting. But I think what's so fascinating to me is that he has been missing for over 3 years already, which is just crazy. And so, you know, when he stopped coming to class at first, it was kind of like, you know, I was disappointed. I loved going. I made a lot of great friends, and it was a really positive experience. But, you know, then you kind of move on with your life, as people do. But it has just become like, I don't know, just everywhere lately. And so, yeah, it's like top of mind for me again. And, you know, just thinking about it all the time.
It's so weird how things come back. Like, you probably, like you said, you moved on with your life. You went, like, you know, it just, it was a moment in time. And now it's like so relevant again overnight.
Exactly.
You know, I remember you told me a lot about going out of your way to see Richard. I mean, you don't really live close to Slimmons, so that was, you know, really a commitment that was pretty admirable. And on top of that, you appeared in one of his exercise DVDs. So yeah, you had a different relationship with him.
I love all things pop culture and celebrity gossip. Like, I love that world. And I moved out here in 2010. And shortly after, I saw a woman that I work with posted a picture with Richard. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, is that a recent photo? And she told me, like, oh, he teaches class 3 times a week in Beverly Hills. So I went once, just thinking, oh, this will be fun. I'll tell people I worked out with Richard Simmons once and I got my photo after class and that'll be it. And I just had so much fun. And I think, you know, in LA, it's kind of hard. You walk into a lot of these workout classes and everyone is thin and, you know, looks amazing.
I enjoy it.
And so it was just incredible to like walk into this room and people of all different shapes and sizes, ages, backgrounds. Like, I just felt this sense of community that I hadn't really felt before in a workout class. And so it motivated me to go. And so, yeah, even though it was about, like, you know, with the traffic and getting through Hollywood and everything, it was like on average at least 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes each way. It was worth it once I got there because, like, on Saturdays, for example, he would do a 45-minute workshop, like motivational workshop before the class. Then the class would be like 1 hour and 20 minutes long, and the class only cost $12, which, wow, you know, there's other workout places like that is about a third of the cost for one class. And then afterwards, like at the end of class, he would always have like a motivational little like saying or quote. If it was your birthday, you got a little gift from him and he sang happy birthday. And then he would stay and take pictures with every single person after class. So it really was this like, it was more than just a workout class. It was like an experience every single time. And then I'd probably been in his class maybe like a little less than a year, and he announced he was doing this set of DVDs. And so I went to the audition, which was at his studio, like full on, had the number pinned to my stomach, you know, like on my shirt, and did like a little routine with a big smile on my face. And got chosen. And so that was really cool too, because all the people in the series of DVDs were like real people that go to his studio, you know, all different types of people. And so that was, yeah, an amazing experience. And then I kept going regularly and, you know, always enjoyed it, always had lots of fun. But, you know, towards the end of my time going, I mean, you could just tell it started to feel like a different environment, and Richard kind of started to change like with his personality and his demeanor a little bit. So, you know, at first when he stopped coming to the class, you know, it seemed to make sense. Like, okay, maybe he's just taking some time off. Now, I didn't think 3 years later, I would still have never gone back to the class. But yeah, so it was really interesting to just kind of see that and experience it. But, you know, I was only a regular there for about 3 years. I mean, there had been people that had been with him, I think, in the podcast. The guy who created it, Dan, says something like Richard's been teaching at that studio since Gerald Ford was president, which kind of puts it in perspective. I know that was long before you or I were around. So, it's really, really interesting. Just kind of how all of that played out.
Yeah, I mean, you're recently interviewed over at People Magazine. The title, the byline is "Richard Simmons' Former Client Recounts His Troubling Behavior. We all just saw him deteriorate." And that's pretty much with what you alluded to earlier, with towards the end, things were changing.
Exactly. Yeah. I did. I got, you know, interviewed by People. The article went up on people.com. And I think, you know, the big thing about it is we've been hearing like other people coming out and saying, oh, he's fine. He's fine. He's just taking time off. But people who really were going to the class regularly and knew him, like we did see a change. And, you know, it was just he just had a totally different demeanor. It seemed different.
Mm-hmm. What was the process like to be interviewed? How were you contacted? Like, what can you say about the experience?
Oh, sure. So I had posted that collage on Facebook of pictures of me and Richard, because I'm telling you, every class, he would take a funny photo with me. And I had, my hair is shorter now, but it was longer, and I had dyed it, like a darker color. And he has, there's a picture of me and him, and my hair is in his mouth. He just decided to put my hair in his mouth, which was like not, a crazy thing. You know, he did all kinds of, things like that. But anyway, so I put this collage up, and I actually know someone who works for People, and she saw the collage. Of course, she heard about the podcast, as lots of people have, because it's really been in the news lately. And she reached out and just said, can I interview you? And so we talked on the phone earlier this past week, and the article went up. And I can't believe it. Like, it got picked up by a lot of other news sites.
Yeah,
and,
I even saw it on Cosmopolitan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know. I saw it on Yahoo and Perez Hilton, and it just, yeah, it was crazy. The response, but you know, I was a little bit nervous when it went up, like, oh, I don't want, you know, other people that I used to take the class with to think like, oh, you know, she's talking to, you know,
yeah,
news outlets, right, or anything like that. But honestly, the response has been positive, because I didn't say anything that wasn't true. And it was a personal account of just kind of the environment of the class and, you know, Richard just seeming to be different towards the end of the time he was there teaching.
And I think that it was very fair in what you said. And it was even positive where you said, you know, that you feel as though he's owed a nap. You think that he should just, you know, relax for the time being. So I think that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that Richard is seeing all this press? Do you think he's listening to the podcast? What do you think?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, if there are days when I'm sitting at home all day long, I am always, you know, checking my phone or watching TV or looking things up. So I feel like it would be difficult to miss. Mm-hmm. But I'm really not sure if he is like just cut off from everything and he's not like, you know, checking updates. Like, I'm really not sure. I mean, it seems like in one way or another, like, details about the podcast would get back to him, especially since the guy creating it has reached out to Richard's brother and the housekeeper and the former assistant and these people who are like very, very close, mm-hmm, to Richard. So to me, it seems impossible for him not to know about it a little bit, because even in class, I mean, when he would teach, he always had stories about, you know, this famous person he ran into, or, you know, going out to dinner at this like lovely restaurant in Beverly Hills. So I feel like he was definitely in the know, even though he would also say that he liked to be like a homebody and just, you know, stay pretty low key when he wasn't teaching. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it would be kind of impossible. Although I will say, sometimes I go to work and I'll see something like there were people the day after the Oscars mishap with La La Land and Moonlight, and they didn't know that it happened. And I'm thinking, like, how on earth have you not heard about this yet? Like, it's everywhere. Like, you know, so things like that, like, I'm very tuned into what's going on and like always in the loop. But I guess there really are people who aren't. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. I have to believe that with all the attention and all the buzz, not even necessarily on the internet, but even now trickling into like with you, People, TV, I feel like the word has to get back to him somehow. There's just too many outlets for someone to tune everything out, to not hear anything.
Oh, Totally.
So, yeah, well, I don't know. I give Richard my best, and I think that this is super interesting to be able to talk with you because, yeah, I mean, you're not featured on that podcast, but I think that your story is super fascinating to me anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I reached out to Dan at the end of each episode. There's like a line you can call and like leave a voicemail. So, of course, I've reached out that way, and I'm very interested if he wanted to talk, I definitely would. I mean, I will also just say, like, I just have such positive memories of Richard. Like, once it was my grandma's birthday and he signed a card for her, and then he was selling these earrings on one of the like Home Shopping Network QVC style channels, and like gave me a pair of earrings to give to her, and he was just like such a genuine, like, just kind person. And so I do just really hope that he is okay, and if he did come back and teach, like, I would be there in the front row 100%. So
wow, that's great. I love it. Well, thank you so much for this info.
Of course.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll have to have you back on the show soon. I think we have an episode coming up, so.
Okay. That sounds great. And I'm always happy to talk.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye.
I love Marie. I think that she always has so much good intel, and she really is speaking from a firsthand account. So we'll hear more from Marie in coming episodes. I'm going to be calling up my good friend, Talia DeLuca. Talia and I perhaps have the longest running relationship, besides me and my grandmother, than anyone else who's appeared on this show. Talia has appeared probably in many, if not the most, amount of projects that I've produced. It's no surprise to many who are listening. I've produced small projects and big projects from as early as I can remember. And Talia was my neighbor down the street in Cranston, Rhode Island for a very long time. And we have collaborated on so many projects over the years. She's acted, she's sang, she's danced, we did theater together. And she is very real and very opinionated, and she's perfect for me. And we stay in touch quite a bit, and she's such a loyal listener to the show. It just makes sense to have her on. Coming up after the break, I call up Talia, and we have a lot to talk about. In the meantime, please do me a favor, check out Grant's Rants over on Patreon, and like Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk on Facebook.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
Hey.
Hey, Talia. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Oh, I'm glad to have you on the show. It's been a lot of episodes that we've had, and I know you've listened to every one of them.
I am so excited and honored that you asked me. This is so exciting.
Of course. Do you know that we've known each other for about 20 years?
Are you that long?
Does that make you feel old?
I knew it was long, but I didn't do the math.
Yeah. No, because I'm thinking back, you know? I mean, my God, like, you and my sister, same age, both in the same classes. It had to have been. Yeah, it had to have been, right?
Yeah.
Weird enough. Anyway, I want to talk to you about a couple different things that I know that you wanted to chat about. For like, so it was 5:25 a.m. 2 weeks ago, and I get a text message about this Remy Ma and this diss about Nicki Minaj, who I'm not a huge fan of. But I got this text from you, so of course we have to talk about it on the show.
You know, the whole thing is just, now it's just disappointing. Like, Remy Ma came out, like, I listened to the song, and you're afraid when you listen to that song. You're afraid when you listen to it. It's so raw, like,
yeah.
She came out with this song for Nicki, and I was like, oh my God, like, it was so raw and so good.
So good.
Yeah, and I got to do it. It was like 7 minutes long. I mean, I listened to it twice. I felt like I listened to it four times.
7 minutes of straight murder. Like, it was unbelievable. It was amazing. Like, it was so good. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, can't wait for Nikki, can't wait for Nikki. And then, like, nothing ever happened. It was, like, such a letdown, you know, until the other night.
But. Yeah, she dropped these three tracks, and, you know, I'm not interested in any of them, really.
No.
I listened to that No Frauds, because I was like, okay, this is going to be the main diss track. And it was just more of the same. It wasn't anything. I mean, it was exactly what I thought she would do. There was no hook or anything catchy. At least, like you said, the other one was, like, scary. The other one was intense. This was just, I don't know, I don't think that Nikki is intense, and I feel like she has no respect for the other women in the rap game, and you know, I'm going to cut for Lil' Kim, because I always do, and she was the very first one to really feel that from Nikki, to really get the brunt of that disrespect and that behavior that's just like, I'm the first and the original and all that. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, the rap game came way before you. So that's why I never could take to Nicki Minaj. But I do.
And you know, like, you know, Kim's just loving it. She's loving every minute of it.
Yes. I will say, though, I don't really like Nicki, but I do like working out to her music. Some of her stuff is good, like My Chick Bad and some of that stuff. But I don't really care for her.
I love Nicki. Like, I've seen her in concert, like, you know, back when she was wearing, like, the Barbie chain, like, way long ago. And, like, everything was great. Like, she's so good. She's so fun. But if you want to talk about rap, it's two different arenas. Like, Remy Ma is a rapper. Like, she is really going to come for you. She's getting personal. She's throwing out all kind of dirt on your personal life. And then, you know, Nikki is in a tough situation because she has to, you know, be the rapper, but yet she also has to be the pop icon that she is. So I almost feel like, you know, she's binded by that, and perhaps maybe that's why she didn't go so hard on her No Frauds. I mean, you know, these generic lines, you know, because Pablo is the most trendiest thing right now. You know, LeBron James and, you know, his six rings is, like, the trendiest thing right now. I mean, anybody could say that, you know, about anyone. So for me, the No Frauds, like, it was just so disappointing because, you know, everybody's excited. They want to see, okay, you know, what's the queen going to come back with? And not only that, Remy, you know, released a song 7 minutes long. Nicki Minaj had one verse, you know, on one song. Like, you're not comparing apples to apples with this one, in my opinion. It can't be done.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because you've said that it's like they're not one and the same. And there was an article that came out over on BET, and they talked about this and just about how, like, this brings us back to 2001 when rap and, like, hip-hop music was, like, in your face and came with, like, street cred and message. And now it's just, it shows the difference, like you said, between Remy and someone who's so watered down and so playing the industry game of just this music business, which is Nikki. It's so obvious to me. And, you know, it mentions the fair weather fans of Remy now that she's going after Nikki. And I will say, that's me. I never gave a damn about Remy Ma until
I love hip hop.
Well, I liked the fur of Fat Joe, but I never gave a damn about her until I said, like, okay, this girl is coming out. She's out of prison. She's standing for something. She's standing up for herself. And she is kind of going backwards with time when it comes to attacking and being a legit rapper. And that's why I love Kim so much. I mean, Lil' Kim from Brooklyn, like, just straight up did it from the beginning. So to
keeping
me,
it real. Yeah, it roots.
Yeah. Cause now it's like, you know, it's about who has the biggest ass versus who came from the projects and who actually has a real story to tell.
Yeah. And it was funny too, cause I actually, just before we connected, I saw, like, a tweet from Safari, but oddly enough, where he, you know, he had mentioned something, like, to Nikki and saying, you know, oh, why are you letting these producers, you know, do this to you? And then you're just rapping, you know, for 12 bars on a record. Like, you know, people, it's so obvious that people know, you know?
Yeah.
You can't really hide it.
Right. So true. Did you see?
And
What?
This is from a Nikki fan. This is from a girl who really likes Nikki.
Yeah.
You know? But you got to give the credit where credit's due. And this one, all Remy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see her on Wendy Williams?
No, I didn't.
She came out in funeral attire. She literally came out dressed for a funeral, and that she said that her grandmother said not to speak ill of the dead.
She's a badass bitch. I love her.
Yeah, basically, the thing with her is she's like, I am like, I can be supportive and soft and pink and all that, but if you come for me, I'll pull out every bit of dirt that I have on you. You know, she says in this quote over on BET.com, she says, in the event you piss me off and we become arch enemies, run for cover.
Yeah, boy, it was true on Cheat there. It was so true.
Yeah. That's funny because, like, I'm not relating our upbringing at all to this. But, I mean, you and I are
suburbia.
All suburbia. Exactly. The whitest way. But I will say, we were the original shade throwers in our neighborhood.
So true.
Yeah. When people would come for us, whether it was on the yellow school bus or
you remember
around the neighborhood on bikes. I mean, we were the original you-know-what stirrers, and we were the original shade throwers.
We were having a really good time as kids.
Yeah. People didn't know what to do with us.
I remember it's so funny because, like, when you talk about Britney on your podcast, I'm like, I wonder if people really realize, you know, how much Grant loves Britney. And I was thinking today, I'm like, oh my God, remember that time that you were on the bus and the whole bus broke out into a fight because Grant held up a folder of Britney Spears?
I do not remember that, but that is typical of me.
You held up like a folder, like a school folder.
I remember. Yeah, it was the crazy. It was the crazy promotional folder.
It was so funny.
And yeah, we were always pushing buttons because everyone was so easy to rile up, and so naturally, like, you know, definitely, I was right there to push the buttons to get a reaction. The original shitster.
We had a lot of laughs at everybody else's expense.
Exactly. These people had to wile out because something was a little different. And I just was like, well, now they're back to their boring lives. Unfortunately, I'm not – well, fortunately for me, I'm not there to interact with them anymore. But please. Let's talk about this story that came out, Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know if you look at it. Did you watch that?
I don't really watch it, but I have heard a couple of the headlines regarding it.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's over for Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think it's over for the whole show itself, but that's just me. I think that it's run its course. So Arnold is quitting The Celebrity Apprentice. He said, even if asked, I will decline. And he's citing the baggage, you know, with Donald Trump's presence and executive producer credit. Now, I know we're on two different pages politically, so I'm dying to know what you think of this announcement.
Well, I mean, nobody is going to be Donald, that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to hire Arnold to do a job, I mean, you don't want to have a guy to come in to replace him. You want to have a guy come in, you know, who's going to bring his own kind of flavor, be his own... You know, kind of like with, like Regis and Kelly. Like, you know, you're not going to replace Regis, but you put Michael Strahan in. You know, complete opposite, and it just worked.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge Arnold fan. Like, Commando, Last Action Hero, Running Man. Like, I love all his movies. I am such a fan. And I just feel kind of bad that he got caught up in all this, because I feel like he's a nice guy, and he was just trying to, you know, do a nice thing, and... You know, the Donald's actions, I think, are completely uncalled for, and it shouldn't even be discussed by a president.
Really?
I do. And I'm such a fan of him. I really am. I'm such a fan of Donald, but I just, you know, I just don't like it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just feel like with anyone, with any job, once you kind of rise above a certain job and you're over it, I mean, what are you going to keep going back for? Don't you have enough to do in your new job?
You're better than that. Yeah. And... I gotta say, too, one thing, you know, we were all laughing at home was when I saw the clip from Arnold, you know, to Donald, when he said something about, you know, well, I'll take your job for the day and everyone will sleep good at night.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. Like, you know,
he was quick. He was quick on that video, too. I mean, it was because Donald made that comment at that breakfast, the prayer breakfast. So it's early in the morning, Pacific time, and Arnold was up, dressed, and already was ready to throw the shade real quick.
So outrageous.
I know. I love an old man argument. But, I mean, I think NBC, I don't know anything. I just think that NBC is done with the show. The quote says, even if asked, I would decline. So, I mean, I don't even think anyone's proposing that he return to the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything to return to. But, he, you know, also related it to a divisive period. And it's just a show that he doesn't want to get caught up in anymore. But he is considering a 2018 Senate run for the state of California that he would represent.
Truly a man that's done it all.
Yeah.
Oh, he really has.
I know when he was governor, people didn't really enjoy him. I was, like, not even a resident. I was in school while he was a governor, and then he departed, and then, you know, now we've got Jerry Brown. So there's, I mean, I don't know anything about him as far as his political stance. I have no opinion, really, believe it or not. Yeah. Do you remember Lindsay Lohan? Do you remember that she had a legging line?
A legging? What doesn't she have going on?
I know. Well, I don't know if it's still in existence. I don't think so, but she's looking to go into a fashion line. And there was a photo posted after she wiped her Instagram. She's been creeping back in with different photos, these humanitarian pictures and, you know, these black and white images. So now she's got one picture of her with the headscarf. It's like diamond encrusted. It does look really nice. And so the caption is that there's a new fashion line coming soon. Everything she does gets so much press, even literally.
For what?
Five words. Like, people love her still. I mean, I don't know if they love her or just love to hate her or if it's just me talking about her. But I mean,
no, it's not you. I saw that headline on, you know, a couple different news outlets. I mean, that's not exactly news, but I mean, I guess it is.
I know. Like, what is that a report? So I was just, I love to see these things because God help these authors, or not authors, these journalists, I guess we can call them in this case, who have to write these articles because they literally have these five words to go off of, yet they need to create a full shareable article. So it talked about, and one of them I read talked about the legging line. It talked about her questioning if she's changing over to Islam. It talked about her history with working with the Turkish people, like all just a recap. All based around this one statement that she's coming soon, which might not even happen. How many times have there been announcements of things that never come through, you know?
I love how she can just do whatever she wants, and she knows it, and everybody's going to bite at it and follow it, and then until they forget for a half a second, and then, you know, she's going to have her new line of, you know, footwear or whatever.
Yeah, I think she needs to follow the Paris Hilton School of International Success. Because I think for her in the States, it's just too little too late. And I never say never. Like, God, I would love for her to be able to win an award and just be like, look, this is something I produced and acted it on my own and really just make a statement for herself. But I think she needs to tap into the international market. They're probably way more accepting of her than we are in the States because people have such a short-term memory here. If they're over her, they're going to be over her.
I know. I still think of the Parent Trap.
I know, and how the hell old is that?
That, yeah. Just can't help it.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell her. I don't really have any more advice except maybe if you're looking strategically at just making money in business, invest in maybe what she's doing with these headscarves. If she's targeting a certain demo over there, and perhaps in the Islamic culture, then maybe that's what she should be doing. There's a lot of money to be made.
Wise business move if that, you know, is the region that she's playing to. She could be very successful.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hope she does. I hope she is. Yeah.
But she's such a joke, Grant.
I know, she is.
But that's why we love her. Maybe you'll get photos of Dina sporting the headwear next.
Yes. See, that's what they need to do. She needs all the help she can get if she's going to sell these headscarves. I mean, you know, so yeah, she might as well rope in Dina.
And it was beautiful.
Do you like the photo?
I did. It was all jeweled and it was very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, also they had to relate, and I never talked about this on the show yet, but she was racially profiled for wearing the scarf. Like, when I read that, I said, of course she was. Just of course. What hasn't happened to her?
What didn't happen to her? Did she have her accent at the time or no?
Maybe she lost that one.
Yeah.
I bet she lost that real quick. What do you make of Megyn Kelly?
I love Megyn Kelly.
Really have come to like her as well.
You know, the thing about Megan, and, you know, maybe, like, not everybody has, like, a lot of time, you know, to watch the news and keep up with it, but as somebody who, like, watches a lot of Fox News, if you don't know Megan and you just heard that she was on Fox, you'd be like, ugh, like, you know, you might not even want to give her the time of day.
Right.
But if you really, you know, listen to what she says, she is so in the middle, and she's got such a good sense of humor. You know, she's just such a likable, nice person.
Yeah, you know, I really, like you said, I was like, oh, Megyn Kelly, Fox News, it's just too far right for me. But then I watched some of her election coverage, obviously because she was right in the middle of it. I mean, she, you know, Donald Trump was going after her, and it was like, okay, so, you know, YouTube clips, whatever, it's on every outlet anyway. So, and then I watched her, how she responded, and I thought she was very classy and how she went about it. And then I started really listening to her, and I was like, yeah, she is, especially since, like, Roger Ailes and Fox has had such a major change, I feel like she was able to put herself more in the middle, which I appreciate. I think most people do. I'm desperate to find a good news source that I can trust. I've been watching PBS NewsHour, and it's actually like no thrills, no frills, no big graphics and all that. It's just straightforward. That's what I've been into lately.
That's nice. Yeah. My personal favorite is I'm a big Bill O'Reilly fan.
Oh God, yes,
I love him. To me, I feel like he's very, very fair and balanced. And then you have him who's kind of like a little hardcore. And then you would have Megan who's, you know, like next, like in the lineup and like, you know, very, you know, sweet and just has like a fun kind of, you know, serious journalism, but just like a lighter approach. And then you have Hannity who, you know, Hannity is very, very, very right. You know, sometimes a little too right for me, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I just.
It's his own story.
Yeah, I mean, I've got people in my own life who, when they talk, they speak the language of Hannity, and it's kind of dangerous. It's kind of dangerous.
I like Hannity. I have to be honest with you. I really do. I like him a lot, but the difference between a Hannity and a Bill O'Reilly is when you watch Hannity, you already know exactly what he's going to say because his stance does not really change on most issues.
Right, and he's so close with Trump, too.
Oh, loves them. But, you know, if you listen to a Bill, you know, sometimes he might surprise you with his kind of outlook on things. So I kind of like that. You know, I don't want to watch something where I automatically know it's all going to be this way. I kind of like having the, you know, the checks and balances, if you will.
Yeah. I just think you got to watch different channels on top of what you're watching.
You're so right. You know, you're so right.
And it's hard because, you know what, you fall into habits. You know when Bill O'Reilly is on, and you just you're there and it's on and you're not gonna miss it because it's there.
But, so Grant, I get it. One thing I cannot do is I cannot do Chuck Todd.
Oh.
There's no room for Chuck Todd in my life ever.
That's how I feel about Kellyanne, but thank God they put her away for a while. Well, anyway, let's talk about Megyn Kelly because she is now, she said this quote, she feels as though there's space for her to be the new Oprah. She wants to deliver a positive message where she can help people. She feels that there's a need for that. She's got the show coming on during the Today Show hours. But it's interesting because she is going with an outside production company. She's not letting the Today Show producers produce it because she feels as though it's going to be filled with Matt Lauer favoritism. And she wants to be able to have someone she can, this is what the article says, someone she can trust.
She's a smart woman. She's a very smart businesswoman. And I mean, I like that. She knows what she wants to do. You know,
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right. You know, I wore, you know, she's going to be doing a Sunday night show too, which is going to be more interviews and hard hitting news. But I don't know. I feel like I'd hate to see it. I hope they don't attach it to like a lifestyle program because my God, so many of those shows have come and gone, you know, and she did mention that there'll be celebrities on here, but there'll also be real people. So I hope she does follow the Oprah formula and it's not going to be like another Meredith Vieira situation or like a Jeff Probst. You know, I mean, Queen Latifah. I mean, there's so many people who have just come and gone.
And Megan, like, she is so good at, like, hard journalism. Like, I think that she shines there. Probably, you know, why she's been so successful. I'd hope to see a little bit of that, you know, mixed with her humor and, you know, her upbeat style and everything.
Yeah.
I hope everyone gives her a chance.
Right. I mean, well, they're investing a lot of money in her. It's reportedly between $12 and $15 million deal on the table, so that she's accepted.
What about Tamron Hall?
Oh, she's long gone.
Because of Kelly, right?
Yeah, well, I think it was because she was upset by all this going on behind the scenes and that they weren't looped in and they were just told, yep, by the way, this successful hour of news is no longer as of September.
Which is crazy because I think I remember reading that that was that particular hour that Tamron was on was doing very well.
Yeah, we talked about that on Grant's Rants. Yeah, we mentioned that. It was actually like number one in all of up against all the syndicated shows at that time. So, you know, you think you're doing good, you know, and so I can understand being insulted, but I don't know if I would leave. I mean, she was so tied into MSNBC and I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta swallow your pride on these things, but I'm sure she'll land on her feet.
And big business.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. So, well, I wanted to have you on the show because, like I mentioned before I dialed you, we've done so many projects together. It's only fitting to have you on my current one.
Yay!
You know what I mean? Like, Talia and I...
Yo, gee.
Yeah, we've done plays together. Like I mentioned, I've produced a lot of projects. We recreated Chicago, where Talia was Velma Kelly.
That was so much. We did so many fun things.
Yeah, we really did. We did.
And your parents were such sports.
Oh,
for letting us take control of every single thing in your house. You know, they were, and elsewhere, taking us places. They were so awesome about all that.
Yeah, I really went all in. Like, if it was in the realm of possibility, we were doing it. Like, that video account, we would do music videos at the beach. I put together, you know, Another Bridge to Cross, which was like, what, like, oh my God, I think like...
A saga.
Yeah, 17 episodes, no, 17 characters, 2 seasons, I think it was like of 18 episodes. And Tally was the lead on that. Carlene Delevoe, and we would shoot that for what seemed like forever.
But it was so fun. It was so much fun growing up with you because we had so many good times and good memories, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of the stuff came out really good. This was not mediocre.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same. Look, when we worked, we took these projects so seriously, but we did have a ton of fun with them. And I look back at some of them, and it's all like a lot of them are very tongue-in-cheek in a way. Like, they're a little, like, funny in a way. Like, where people would be easy, they'll be laughed at. But I feel like while we took the project so seriously, we always had humility and fun in wanting to make them a little ridiculous and over the top.
I'm a little ridiculous and over the top sometimes. So.
Me too.
It's fine. You gotta laugh at yourself. You gotta live. You know, you gotta have a good time.
Yes. I'll never forget. Speaking of Lil' Kim, you know what I'm gonna say? The Magic Stick music video that we created.
I was pity.
Does anyone remember the swoops? The chocolate swoops? They were like Pringle style chocolate.
Yes. And I had like a winter coat on, and
you had like my mom's like Columbia like ski jacket
in the basement. Loved it.
That was one of the very cheap, lower budget ones. Actually, we did create a lot of really over the top things. One of the music videos we shot for that soap opera, we used my father's Trans Am. Remember when we put the fan on blasting on your face?
Oh my God! Yeah, yes. And then you would always like you had a huge basement downstairs, and it was pretty empty. but you would always fill it and transform it. Like every weekend when I came over, it was always something different. You know, there was like a jail cell up, or, you know, there was like a disco ball hanging, or just all this elaborate, like nobody would ever know that it was the same space.
I know. We created more things down there. I even built a full courtroom. And I would go to, like, that really discount lumber yard and, like, buy, like, these, like, you know, really cheap, like, messed up, like, water-damaged pieces of, like, particle board. And then just would get to work on cutting them and painting them. And, you know, that was really a thrill to be able to have such a creative space. And I just imagine that's what I would be doing for the rest of my life. But I have to say, I kind of miss that. I don't have those resources anymore. And when I went to college, I came home and all that stuff was discarded and no longer. That was really kind of the end of that chapter, you know? But
sad.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got my studio out here now in LA, and my little studio apartment that I live in, and I've been producing stuff in here, and because it's all mine, I'm able to do that. So I'm really getting creative with that. Yeah. So I loved looking back at those memories with you, just to see what you remember. You know, I remember a lot by looking at the videos, but I'm always curious to know what you remember. You have to have appeared in the most, perhaps you or my sister Alyssa, you have to have appeared in the most of my projects. So you've known me from the very beginning to now, wherever we are.
If I went into detail, everyone would probably think I'm crazy, but you know, I remember everything, you know? Everything that we did, like skateboard videos.
Oh, like, God. When none of us could skateboard.
Just to meet guys, you know, me and your sister, like, all stupid things that we did. But, you know, I remember it all, and it was so much fun.
Always just thinking about what's next, but I have to appreciate all the stuff from the past that I've done, too, because it got me to where I am today. And, you know, wherever that is, but, you know, I mean,
you're in a good spot.
Still doing it, yeah. So, doing Grant's Rants is a good creative outlet for me, so, yeah.
And I love listening.
Well, thank you. Talia.
3,000 miles away.
I know. Well, I'll be seeing you this summer. So,
I can't wait.
Yeah. So, all right, Tal, I'll let you go.
All right, Grant. Nice chatting with you.
All right. Where can I find you? Tell people to find you on social media, should they be interested.
Oh, yes. You can find me on Insta at TDEL412.
Perfect. All right. Let's talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. I loved that. I love catching up with Talia and talking with her. We go so far back, and she's such a genuine, good person and a good friend. So I love whenever I can talk with her. Thank you for supporting these rants. Please check us out over on Patreon if you haven't already. Follow me on all the social media. But thank you so much for hanging out with me this afternoon and taking a few phone calls with me. There'll be a lot more rants to come. I've got a lot of good guests scheduled. I love you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.